Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners, Tyler Cook and Craig Konstantinovich. And today we're talking about fee-only financial planning. Amidst a sea of marketing and social media presence, misinformation, people hungry for information, we really want to kind of debunk some of the myths and give you some good information. So if you know somebody who is interested in financial planning and understanding the differences in the industry, this is the show for you. So let's get into it. What does it really mean? I mean, fee-only financial planning. I'm not sure if you want to start with the definition or if you want to go, I say compensation methods?
Yeah, no, that really is okay. The line in the sand. This is the compensation method, because in the world today, anybody can call themselves a financial planner, a financial advisor. There's no real regulation of that piece. Of course, you get in the certified financial planner designations, things like that, start to differentiate people. But really, from a financial planning standpoint, the compensation method, how you're paying your advisor, is a big differentiating factor. So fee-only financial planning, or fee-only, the method of fee-only, is essentially no product sales, no commissions, and you're giving advice. It's fee for service. Some people confuse that with fee-based. We'll explain that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But there's really three types. There's fee-only, fee-based, and commission.
There are often people, I'm just going to speak for myself. You go to the schools, your kids are in high school, for instance, or the colleges, you see brochures sitting everywhere, you know, advisor.
Yep.
Everybody's kind of out there. It seems like the wild, wild west. There's a lot of people claiming to be financial advisors, and I myself have been stung by that pretty badly in my life. So how do we help people really vet fee only to know if it's the right fit?
Yeah, it comes down to when you're doing anything with any professional, especially in the finance world, you always want to have at least an introductory meeting. Most people offer that as a complimentary meeting, just so you can learn information, figure out what, you know, what their business is all about, those kind of things. And that's when you can ask more times than not point blank, what am I going to be paying you for services? They may give you some information, like it may be based off of assets under management. It may be something, oh, we don't take any fees. That'll start to tell you some of the information.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
Because honestly, from the every person's perspective, you don't know the right questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there, it's a good faith exchange, right?
Yeah.
You're hoping that they have character and integrity and they're going to be honest with you. And then you're kind of yes man. You're kind of sitting there going, oh, yeah, you're nodding your head. Oh, okay. But can we give people a bullet point list of questions to ask in order to get that information, to make them be direct, to force them to be direct?
Yeah, I think a good starting one is just, how are your fees calculated?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the fee-only world, there's really three different ways somebody could be billing you. As Craig said, assets under management, you'll hear they call it AUM.
Mm-hmm.
There's flat fees, which is what we are, flat fees. Or there's hourly fees. And we have our opinions on each one of those, but even in the fee-only world, there's confusion on how it's actually paid. So if you can ask the question, how do you calculate your fee, followed by how do I pay it, that'll give you some clarity.
And we can get to how people learn how they're paying their fees a little bit later. But when you're saying fee-only is no product, so can we give people a list of what that looks like?
Yeah. So when you're looking at fee-only, it's more so kind of the generalist. Like, life insurance is an important piece of everyone's financial plan. Same thing with investments. When you're looking at someone and you're trying to say, okay, what is it that you're going to be offering me? If they say, you know, I work for ABC company and I'm going to sell you ABC company's life insurance if you need it. Okay, well, that right there is a conflict of interest, because ABC may not be the best suited product for what it is that you're looking for. So there may be others out there like XYZ company that all of a sudden is offering the same product at a lesser rate. That person, that individual you're talking with, doesn't know that because they don't represent that company. So it's all about how they're approaching what advice they're giving you or what it is that they're thinking about and how to craft your financial plan. So if they start pitching products, or if it's, hey, your financial plan needs more life insurance, that's the first thing they gravitate towards. Or we need to start investing, and they say, this is a great fund for you. If it's information that they can't compare openly to other options, then you're probably being sold something as opposed to getting solid advice.
So if they're giving specificity of products, is it prudent for somebody to say, do you sell those products? Would that make sense? Because that would be my inclination to say, where do I get that product? And then they're forced to then say, oh, we sell that product. And then you kind of know, you know, where there might be a little bit of
Yeah, where it gets confusing is when you have kind of the hybrid, which is the fee-based concept. Mm-hmm. So again, fee only is flat annual fees, no commissions, no sales charges. You're not selling anything. You're mm-hmm. not selling stocks, okay. bonds, mutual funds,
insurance.
Nope. Okay. Annuities, yeah. none of that. Strictly paid for your advice. Where it gets muddy is when you get in the fee-based world where there's a hybrid component of a flat fee or maybe a percentage fee plus a product sale. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets confusing because oftentimes you'll hear maybe a low-ball fee up front as a quote. The next meeting is where they're really going to maybe start to pitch the product sale piece, which again, products are needed, right? People need life insurance. They need investments and all those things. But can you try to remove as many conflicts of interest? You can't eliminate them. We have conflicts of interest, right? You can't yep. get around all of that. But if you can limit those and try to put the client at the forefront of the recommendation, that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm sitting here thinking if I've got somebody sitting across from me who is trying to sell, I mean, I went through it, somebody selling me an annuity that I didn't know if I needed it or not.
Those are free. That's what Craig said earlier when I said there's no fees. You literally hear things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no out-of-pocket cost to you, but look, read the contract.
Yeah, that's scary. Really, yeah. I got it back, but it was for my father, actually. But he painted the picture that it was the way to go. And this was before I worked here for this company, but it never occurred to me to say, do you sell those products? I mean, it just would never have occurred to me to ask that question. I'm so trusting of people that I thought he had my best interest in mind when he was offering it up. And I think that's probably generally how people are. We believe the good in people, and I'm, you know, not besmirching anybody here, but really have to understand what you're dealing with and understand how to talk to these people about what they sell. So if somebody's sitting in front of me trying to sell me a product that I might not need, my best interest really doesn't seem to be on their front line, right?
And that goes back to the whole conversation that's got a lot of press the last 5-10 years really is the fiduciary standard, or putting your client's interest ahead of your own. And I've literally seen stories where somebody will kind of switch back and forth from, are you being a fiduciary right now, or are you selling a product? And they can actually do that as long as they disclose it to you. But again, for the consumer, that's very confusing because it's, you know, you have my best interest in mind when you're talking about maybe my tax planning or estate planning, but now we get to the investment side or the insurance side and you're going to sell me a product. That's where it gets confusing and people just tend to not look at the details. But all of this has to be disclosed on government websites like the SEC or FINRA. Mm-hmm. And so you can really dig in and do your research and find out the details in advance of going to a meeting to talk to somebody and have your list of questions ready to go. But right. I think going back to the bigger picture, it's how do you calculate your fees? Right. That's the first question to ask. And if you can't understand that, that's a problem.
Right.
So if I can backtrack for a moment, fee only means that we don't get paid for selling stuff. So how does that literally, how do they get, if a fee-based advisor is trying to sell your products, how do they get paid?
So it would be, as Tyler mentioned, it would likely be a flat annual fee or a flat form of a fee. So maybe $200 a month or $150 a month. And then they turn around, they try to sell you some certain product. So like if you needed a life insurance policy, you know, they may get a commission based off of selling that life insurance. So it may be, again, I'm making up numbers here, but 1% per million that would be paid out as a commission to them.
From where?
From the actual insurance company that's offering it. So their premiums would go to pay for the life insurance policy itself. But as we know, you know, the big names that are out there, all the commercials that you see across TV, like they have marketing dollars. So when you get quoted a premium, it's built in with some marketing dollars, some additional funds beyond just the cost of insurance. So now, okay, well, that kitty or that pool, that now can be divvied up between marketing monies, between, you know, paying the advisor that sold the product, all sorts of different areas where it can be divided and spread amongst several different areas or different people to get compensated.
Okay. Did you want to shut?
Yeah, just circling back to the fee-only methods. I want to go a little further with that. So the three ways, again, I mentioned earlier is AUM, assets under management, where the advisor would be pulling their fee directly from investment accounts that they manage directly under their umbrella.
So backtrack, let's explain to people what assets under management really means.
Yeah, just it's investments that you have with an advisor that they're the one calling the shots.
So it's not your net worth.
Nope, it's just the investment bucket. Okay. It could be a brokerage account, an IRA. It could be a 401k if you're a self-employed person. Mm-hmm. It could be all sorts of things on the investment side. But the fee is paid directly from the accounts. Mm-hmm. And it's percentage, right? So if the account grows, the dollar amount collected by the advisor goes up. If the account goes down, dollar amount goes down as well as far as what's paid to the advisor.
Mm-hmm. That seems fair to me.
I think it's the most common one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt.
The least common is what we do, which is flat annual fees. Mm-hmm. And we calculate that based on somebody's net worth. And years ago, we had different fee models and we adjusted accordingly because we realized the service that we provide is so comprehensive that the best way to measure that is your net worth, right? Your assets minus your liabilities.
Yep.
And so we use that and we have a fee schedule that goes up accordingly as net worth changes. But the idea there is it's transparent. Clients understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's confusing times as well when things change. But the idea being it's right in front of you, which is in the AUM world, it's kind of hidden.
Yeah.
It's disclosed on statements, but people don't look at that stuff.
Right.
So, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's a lot of really good AUM advisors that we know, even mm-hmm. in the fee-only world.
Mm-hmm.
But where I have the issue is I think that can create some more conflicts of interest. Give you an example. I was at a conference years ago, and somebody was giving a presentation on alternative investments, like think real estate, those types of things. And I leaned over and asked the other colleague, I said, hey, do you guys do any of this stuff? And he said, no. And I said, well, why? He goes, that means I'd have to take the money out of the accounts that I manage, give it to somebody else, so I can't charge a fee on that account because it's not under my account.
Mm-hmm.
That's one example. There's many conflicts, but I think doing it that way, there are some good things to it just in terms of the actual, you know, you hear the you win, we win, or we only do better when you do better. Like that's yep. true, right? In terms of the account appreciating, but it's tied just to the portfolio piece. So that's why we think the net worth calculation is the way to go. In our opinion, of course, we're biased on that, but we have good reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, hourly. Again, I think that creates more conflicts because it creates what we call stop-start planning.
Right.
And that's the one that's so appealing to the average person who doesn't understand the yeah. universe that this is and how mm-hmm. complicated this world can be,
right.
especially as you age into it, that hourly is confining. It seems confining to me.
Well, think of it like an attorney. It prevents communication
yep.
because mm-hmm. a lot of attorneys charge every 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at your watch saying, all right, yeah. are we done? Am I in 6 minutes and 1 second or can we get 5 minutes, 59 seconds? So it does create that stop-start mentality, which we don't believe in that. We think comprehensive planning is the key. It's continuous.
Right.
It's ongoing. It's a living, breathing thing. So hourly or like a one-time consultation type thing and just, you know, handing you a piece of paper or a binder and saying, here you go, do it. That might be okay for some, but for most, it's not really what financial planning is about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. What about commission-based? Did we talk about that?
We did. I think it's just the idea of, like Craig said, you got products on the shelf. You feed your family if you sell that product. What if it's not the right product for you sitting across the table mm-hmm. from me? There's inherent conflicts there.
So there's commission, fee-based, and fee-only.
You got mm-hmm. it.
Right?
And then there's different flavors of each one of
and
those.
The yeah. hourly can fit into the fee-based and the commission-based.
And fee-only.
Fee-only. Yeah. Some fee-only companies do yep. hourly as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So you've got to do your research and ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's tough from my perspective, because this is, you guys eat, sleep, and drink and breathe this stuff, but it's when you're a novice at it, you just don't know the right questions to ask. That's a great head start. What I want to know too is, how do you know? I mean, I spent years looking at my statements and mm-hmm. not knowing what I was paying and I could never get a straight answer from them. Started to understand how that all works. So let's help people understand when you're looking at your statements, how do you know what you're paying these advisors to manage your Roth or your 401k?
So it depends on the account. You'll get, more than likely, you'll get individual statements per account. And you'll basically want to go through and look at what are the transactions that happen within that account. So you may get one statement and it may be 10, 15, 20 pages. Now all of a sudden you're scrolling through that and you're saying, okay, it says DIV RE or DIV RI or REIN. So that would be like a dividend reinvested. There may be buys, there may be sells, but there should be something that says fee or management expense or something to that effect. So that usually is based on each individual account. So you, if you're looking at it from like an AUM advisor, for example, if it's 1% of the assets under management, you got a $100,000 account, you'll see that line item specifically included there. Now, some advisors won't have that. There may be other investments that may have fees that are tied to them. So there's certain investment aspects that are called loads. Loads are basically expenses or commissions that are paid based off of either when you put money in, as the fund is continuously being managed, or if you take money out of it. So that may be a secondary fee that may not necessarily be disclosed. If you're investing in mutual funds, is usually when those loads are applied. So that you would want to look up and actually look at what is the fund that you're invested in. So if it's an A-class share, for instance, so, you know, hey, I put money in, it may be a 5% load up front. So you put $100 in.
Which is huge, by the way.
Yeah.
5%
significant. Yeah. Significant. But if you put that in, now all of a sudden you may get $95 that's actually invested. The first $5 is paid as a commission to the advisor. then you may have a B share. B would be along the way. So that may be 2 or 3%. And then you have a C share, which means when you take money out of the fund, that's when you would actually pay that fee. So there's different ways that you can go about it. But to Tyler's point, it's not always transparent. And the layperson may not necessarily understand that. So to Tyler's point, how are you compensated? What is your fee? How is the methodology that you go about for collecting that fee? Those are all valid questions you should be asking from the very beginning. You
got it all, Trace?
Yeah, I'm taking it.
Real thing on the front and deferred loads, that's a real thing too. I'll never forget that when I was interning for the company years ago. That's what really kind of got me to understand the bigger picture of comprehensive and trying to remove conflicts, because you can buy the exact same mutual funds that's not listed as Class A. It's the exact same underlying investments, but if it has a little A at the end of it, you're paying that extra commission that you don't need to. And then thankfully, over the last 20 years, there's been a lot of light shed on the commission world and things like that, and brokers are pushing to go to zero commissions. A lot of them do that now. Mm-hmm. But even in the mutual fund world, still exists, right? A lot of times in actively managed funds rather than index funds. But you don't see those loads on your statements.
Right.
So it's just when you sign up and go, or when the advisors may be buying and selling, but you're not going to see a transaction that says, here was what your front load was on the last transaction. It's baked into the mutual fund.
My brain, and this is not out of allegiance to the company, my brain is my brain. And I would say this whether I worked here or not, but if somebody's earning a commission on a product, I'm so jaded that I can't imagine that it's unbiased. So, get the information, ask the questions.
There are good commission advisors out there. I do want to state that. And there's specialty brokers that do things like in technology or healthcare maybe. Mm-hmm. But again, that creates kind of a tunnel that they can only really do one thing very well.
Right.
And so that's where, investment advisors are part of a good team that we're managing as the financial planner.
Okay. Looking at my notes here, we kind of addressed the flat fee, hourly, and AUM. That's great. Transparency and fiduciary duty, what clients should expect. I mean, people throw that term around, and even potential clients, when I speak to them, they'll throw that term out at me. And
the fiduciary.
Yeah. And then they'll start using finance speak with me based off of TikTok or social media, and they really don't understand. So I want to kind of clear the desk and explain to everybody, what does that mean? Why is it important?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, the person that's sitting across the table from me, I have to put their best interest ahead of my own. So like we were talking about earlier, if there's a life insurance policy, let's say they need $1 million worth of life insurance. If I am selling products, okay, well, I may have this base level insurance policy that I could sell you for $1 million. Okay, I'm going to try to pitch that. It may not be the best one for you, though, given your medical background or maybe your financial means or who knows. There may be an insurance policy, same thing, $1 million coverage, that may be a lesser premium. I may not give you that information or be forthright with that because, to Tyler's point earlier, I don't earn a commission if I sell you that product or tell you about it. So fiduciary standard truly means, person, your interest is more important than my own. I'm going to make sure that I give you the right advice given what I know to be true today.
So insurance agents have to be fiduciaries as well?
No. No.
That's where you switch the hats.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. I was curious about that.
They're captives to their company. Not insurance brokers, but insurance person that
works
directly
from. That
was
my next question. What about the brokers?
Mm-hmm. Well, brokers can be very helpful in a situation like that because they can shop it around to different carriers. But if you're dealing with somebody who works directly for the insurance company, they're their first duty is to the company, not to you.
Right.
And that's where some of the problems come.
Right.
I really think the fee-only movement, back when it really got started in the 70s and 80s, John being a big part of that with a few others, that was the mindset, was the fiduciary mindset of trying to give advice without selling products. Mm-hmm. And that was met with a lot of pushback from big insurance companies, investment companies. But I think that's the true spirit of fee only from the early days, was to try and give advice without selling anything and just doing what's best for the person sitting across the table from you.
Yeah. How do you know, how can you be certain that it's not just marketing? That how can people be sure that the person that's sitting in front of them is a true fiduciary?
And that's where some of the professional designations start to come into play. So to Tyler's point, a lot of people can hold themselves out to be advisors, but if you're a CFP, you're supposed to be acting as a fiduciary anytime you're providing financial advice. So you should check for that designation. You should see what
CFP means.
Certified financial planner.
Not college football player.
Well, it means
it's
that too. Well, especially when the commercials run simultaneously.
Yeah, no doubt. But very true.
But yeah, so look for that CFP designation first, and then you want to see what other organizations they may or not be affiliated with. To Tyler's point, what company do they work for? You know, I'm not going to go through the laundry list of companies that are captive to an insurance agent or, you know, a broker of a specific company or things like that, but ask who the person works for. And if they're working for a company as opposed to their individual clients, well, now you know that there is likely going to be some of those conflicts baked in. So proceed with caution. But that's really the easiest way to go about it. And then you can do, if you really want to, there's things like broker check or reading through the ADV, which is basically a breakdown of how a firm operates, what the advisor's history is. It should, or it always does, outline the ways that they're compensated, you know, if there is commissions, those kind of things. So ask for that information if it's not offered to you forthright.
The three letters, ADV.
Yeah, correct. And it's all public. Go to sec.gov. You can search by the firm, by the advisor name, and get the details. But in there, too, you can dig into the weeds. And these things can be 20, 30, 40 pages long. But there's kind of a table of contents so you can filter down to the fees piece. But you also see other affiliations, right? If they're an advisor, but maybe they have an insurance company as well on the side, and they refer their advisor clients to that insurance company to get the commissions and things. We see that all the time. Very common. But that's what you really got to do is you have to just own it yourself. And it's just like everything in life. Take the responsibility in-house and then ask the right questions.
Yep.
Can fee-only planning an advisor actually help with things like stock options and estate planning, or do people need specialists for those kinds of things?
So
let's run through that, how that works.
Yeah. So we can give general advice. Like we're not going to be the one sitting there saying, hey, here's how you should write your will, or you need this ABC trust, or hey, here's how you go about things. We provide the planning opportunity. So a lot of times we've got our process built around the idea that we need to educate our clients. So the first thing that we have to oftentimes debunk is, what is a stock option? A lot of people think that that is money that they're immediately entitled to, and that's not necessarily the case. So we have to figure out what kind of stock option it is. There's different flavors that are out there. It may be a restricted stock, and they've just heard stock option, and they confuse the terms. So that's where our process is all derived around gathering the data to start assessing what is it that you actually have. Once we know what you have, then we can start providing input like, what are tax planning strategies? How do you potentially pay a lesser amount in taxes than you would if you weren't to do this? When's the right time to get in or out of this? Not trying to time things, but from a planning perspective, when do you need the cash? Is it going to be better suited to go to this or to that? Should you keep the money invested in the stock? So we can do all of those kind of things with stock options, restricted stock, all sorts of stock awards that are out there. But the estate plan, you know, that's not something, like I said, that we're sitting there writing out, but we can identify, hey, you don't have a will. You don't have a power of attorney. You probably need that given your status. You should speak to an attorney. We don't have an attorney in-house. That's not something that we have advocated for, because we feel like the best people out there either work for themselves or work in a network of attorneys. So here's how you go about interviewing them.
Yeah,
here's
I've seen
how you find
guys,
the right one.
I've seen you guys break apart a spider web. And I kind of, when I talk to people, I kind of explain it's tantamount to, I've got a pain in my foot. I go to see my general practitioner. General practitioner then takes x-rays, maybe does some blood work, you know, maybe pokes it and pushes it, and then says, okay, you need an antibiotic, or let's send you to a podiatrist, aka an attorney, estate planner, insurance agent, which it took me a long time to kind of understand how that all worked. So you're kind of the coach, the mentor, the fee only is kind of wrapped around that sort of holistic approach.
And that allows us to do that because all we care about is what's best for the client. So we're there side by side, working with, coordinating with those third parties, attorneys, accountants, you name it, go down the list. But we're right there overlooking our client's shoulder and there to help at any point.
And the CFP designation is kind of the royal crown jewel, isn't it?
It is. But I again, that's where there's a lot of CFPs that are commission people and fee-based folks, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. So as opposed to like a CFA.
Well, no, as opposed to being a CFP that's fee only as well. Mm-hmm. So anybody really can be a CFP. There's insurance people that are CFPs, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more academia. I think the real world piece is you've got to have that conversation of how are your fees calculated to really understand what service you're paying for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. CFP is great too because you have to abide to ethical standards and there's continuing education requirements and all sorts of good things that from an ethical standpoint and just the industry has gotten better because of that. But the CFP is not the gold standard in my opinion in terms of what's the best financial planner for you.
Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about bringing value to our clients' relationships. I hear you talk about it a lot. And I think I like that we're sensitive to that as a layperson. I appreciate that. And I know our clients do. But what do we tell people to look for to make sure that they have value from their advisor?
To me, the paramount thing are the—
I mean, is it the portfolio?
No. Well,
because that's what a lot of people say. A lot of people,
sure is.
Yeah, walking through the door, a lot of people think that way. And I take that as a challenge to put it on the bigger picture, which is, are you accomplishing your goals? And the biggest one I can think of is helping people achieve peace of mind. I mean, mm-hmm. that is our service. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to figure out because life changes. Mm-hmm. You might move your goalposts, right? Just things happen.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can try to continue to educate and put that North Star being peace of mind, that's the focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you,
and that means different things to different people.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I love it.
Yeah, which may be starting a business, getting your first home, starting a family, reaching financial independence or retirement. Everything and anything can be encompassed in that peace of mind.
Yeah. And you can have a giant bag of money, walk through the door and think you've got all of your ducks in a row. But if you don't have certain aspects of the plan in place, as you guys talk about every day, you're going to tap into that money to sustain your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So the fee-only, comprehensive, holistic way is what we believe in. Well, that's it for today. We hope that you'll tune in to the next show and share with your friends. Thanks for joining us.
Media. Think big.